Those of you who were here last week will remember that I spoke about Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. The sermon was rather long because there's so much to say about that letter, so much that's interesting and in some places controversial, so much for us to unpack. And of course, remember, it culminated in the wonderful 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that wonderful passage about love, about self-giving love, agape, the self-giving love which is at the heart of God's relationship with us, and which I suggested should be at the heart of our relationships with all those whom we encounter. Self-giving love. I even suggested that we should read that passage each week just to see how we're doing in that respect. But today we move on to the third in our series on the letters in the New Testament. And this is, today we're going to be focusing on 2 Corinthians, a book that's very different from 1 Corinthians. We know that Paul wrote at least 4 of these long letters to the Christians in Corinth in roughly 55 AD. That's about 25 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the church had started in Corinth, and he was sending these letters to them, and we only have 2 that have survived. Almost certainly there was an earlier one which has been lost, and probably another one that came in between the 2 that we have in our Bibles. By 55 AD, the church had been growing in Corinth for a few years, and inevitably there were things on which they needed advice. And they turned to Paul for this advice and guidance. And the letter that we looked at last week, 1 Corinthians, contained a lot of teaching and a lot of explanations about issues that these people found difficult. But today's letter, and those of you who've read it through before, I'm sure will agree with this, has a very different tone. Clearly, a significant section of the Corinthian church were finding it very difficult to follow the teachings of Jesus, finding it very difficult to follow these guidelines which Paul was suggesting. And we all know from our own experience and the experiences of others around us that this is not unusual. We all have difficulties in living our lives following in the teachings of Jesus. And the Corinthians, who were finding it difficult to keep to the Christian way, we're doing what sadly many people do today. Instead of looking critically at themselves and asking God to help them to sort themselves out, they were looking for someone to blame. And the obvious person to blame was Paul. It all sounds very modern. It happens every day in our homes, in our offices, in our schools, and it dominates our public life, the blame culture, where the press and the rest of us heap ridicule and anger on our leaders. Sadly, it's been going on for centuries, but I do feel it's probably particularly bad at the moment. And it would be easy to pass over this second epistle to the Corinthians as something of a bad tempered rant as Paul responds to this criticism. But we shouldn't do that. As I said last week, I believe that all Scripture is God-given and God-breathed and provided for our enrichment and inspiration. Paul uses a beautiful phrase in this letter to the Corinthians, saying that the Word of God is like sweet-smelling incense permeating our whole community and our whole being. Many of us know as we read our Bibles, sometimes when we least expect it, a passage will suddenly hit us with a very powerful personal message. And I think that's probably true in this second letter to the Corinthians. So let's just have a quick look at what Paul has to say. Life, he says, can be very tough. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we don't have bad times, that we do not suffer. in a very graphic passage, he points to the many times that he's had to put up with physical punishment because of his faith. He's been whipped, stoned, shipwrecked, beaten, hungry, without shelter, and so on. Hopefully a list that won't afflict most of us. But in this epistle as well, Paul makes his famous reference to his having an illness or a condition. He's not very specific about what it was. It's often translated as a thorn in the flesh, something that incapacitated him. He prayed about this several times to God, but it remained. A reminder that God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way we wish or expect. Paul continued to suffer physically for the rest of his life. And many here in our church know how draining this can be. But for him, his hardships were dwarfed by his appreciation of all the goodness of God, all the blessings that he, Paul, had received through his faith. Any suffering he had was small in comparison to the good things he enjoyed. And his overwhelming desire in life was to share with others what God had given to him. This was what motivated Paul and drove him on, despite the hardships. He says in his letter that he feels an overwhelming sense of love for the Corinthians. And this keeps him going, even when times are hard. Clearly, he finds the criticism of a significant minority very hurtful. And he feels it's misplaced. That doesn't stop him from caring for them. Through the grace of God, he still loves them. Some of you will have read of Gordon Brown's interview last weekend in which he spoke of how hurtful it is for him to be the object of so much criticism and personal innuendo. And one finds the same sentiments in the memoirs and statements of so many who've held leadership positions, including, sadly, leadership positions in churches. Freedom of speech is a great treasure for us in this country. But as the book of James warns us, the tongue can do immense damage. And we as Christians must be aware of this when we open our mouths in ways that could be hurtful and critical. As I say, a feature of this letter is that Paul shows a strong awareness of human physical weakness. He describes human bodies as tents and as clay pots, fragile, temporary, but serving us for the time being. But while our bodies may be fragile and deteriorating, he said, God renews our spiritual being each day. And this really is his key point to his readers. They must not allow themselves to be consumed by their physical problems, or by grumbles, or by obsession with particular issues. But they must allow God to transform them daily. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador, of course, lives in two countries. He or she is a citizen of one place, but resident in another. His, her job is to represent, to speak for, to show the qualities of, in this case, the kingdom of heaven, while living on earth. We are, or should be, says Paul, ambassadors for Christ. In the Gospels, Jesus tells us that we should be lights in the world, shining in the world for Christ. The Corinthian grumblers were far from this, and Paul reminds them that as ambassadors, they were called to show the power of God, making a difference in their lives. Since I've been a vicar, and particularly since my hair has become a little thinner, I get quite a bit of teasing about my halo. I don't know if any of you can see it at the moment. It's sometimes quite prominent if the sun's in the right direction. But there is a serious point about halos. The reason that medieval painters used them was to indicate the presence of God in a person. Sometimes today, we notice something special about people. We have some in this church. A special something, which is about the love of God flowing through them. Of course, we all have our off days. But in essence, this is the message of Paul in 2 Corinthians. Let God's love flow through you and let it show. Not in a flamboyant, showing off sort of way, but naturally and attractively. Some of the other issues in 2 Corinthians are practical, as in the passage that was read to us earlier, which encourages us to reflect on the extent to which we share our wealth and possessions. As the passage that Emma read said, sometimes we are in a position to share a lot, sometimes less so. Sometimes we should give. At other times it is appropriate for us to receive. But for me, the key message of this letter is that Paul is encouraging those Corinthians who are feeling crusty and whose joy in their faith is weakening to go back to the basics of that faith and to seek to rekindle the love, joy, and peace which God offers to all who trust him. Our gospel reading that Andy read to us tells two stories where things did not look promising, and yet the protagonists hung on in there. The woman bustling in the crowd persisted in order to just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Jairus was losing a child and must have felt so irritated and anxious as Jesus stopped to attend to somebody else rather than rushing to his house as Jairus wished. But both hung on. Both continued to trust Jesus, and he met them in their need and blessed them. So to conclude, in this second letter to the Corinthians, Paul acknowledges that being a Christian is not always easy. It is certainly not a soft option. But he urges them to hang on in there, not to take the easy route and blame others, not to be compromised by worldly values, but to look at themselves and to seek God's help in developing the spiritual side of their being. As I was preparing this, it reminded me of a verse which I was given soon after I made a fresh commitment to God in my early adult life. And I printed it on the bottom of the notice sheet, and I'll finish with it now. It's a well-known two verses from Proverbs chapter 3. Put all your trust in the Lord, and do not rely on your own understanding. At every step you take, keep him in mind, and he will direct your paths. Amen.